Thank you, John. Thank you, everyone. Lovely, lovely to see you all. Today, we will continue our journey with our discipline series in the church, and I hope you feel blessed as I am for all the lessons and the teachings we had so far. We've seen the answer prayer at the barbecue and open day. Remember, we all prayed and we fasted for this event, and what an amazing answer to prayer. That is part of the discipline series, isn't it? So the message for this morning, it's about confession. It's about the liberating power of confession. And I have to start by confessing, I did have two burgers yesterday and a sausage, I have to say. But what about the cakes? Wow, what an amazing choice of cakes. So we live in a culture that is often more concerned with blaming others for what is happening to us, isn't it? It's blaming others rather than dealing with our own guilt. But the Bible, the scripture, presents us with a radically honest approach, and that is confession of our sins. And confession, it is hard for us because we often see the church as a group of saints rather than a community of sinners. We think everyone is doing better than me, more holy, less broken, and that leaves us with a feeling alone in our struggles, or maybe afraid to admit our failures. And we assume we are the only ones who haven't figured it out yet. So that's why sometimes we hide, we pretend, and we put on masks. But when we understand that God's people are first a fellowship of sinners, we can then be honest. We can hear God's love calling us just as we are. And then we can confess our sins and share our struggles with one another, knowing that we will be prayed for. And we realize then we are not alone. Everyone carries fear of things in their lives or pride. And in a way, we are sinners together. And through confession, healing begins. We stop pretending and we start growing. And our brokenness is not something to hide. It becomes the place where God starts transforming us. And as a joke, we all know from our childhood, we learn from an early stage to avoid confession, yes? I know those of you who are single, a single child, it's more difficult for you, I'm sorry, because everything in the house is your fault, right? But when you have siblings, wow, that's a totally different game, isn't it? I mean, I remember my sister, she's older than me, how many times she got punished or told off because of what I did, you know? But she is the older sister. I mean, now, as you know, we have four children as a family. And even now, I can tell you, there have been events in my household, and I still don't know who the culprit is. Now, with a cat, Ash, well, guess what? The cat gets the blame, you know? Really? Who did this? Ash did. I didn't know a cat can open the fridge and a casserole and eat the cake. You know, gum on the carpet. Who did this? Fingers pointing. Who ate the sweets that I was planning to bring at the prayer meeting or the Alpha course? Fingers pointing. We all learned this from our childhood. But I have to say, when I was a child, things were a bit different. I mean, my parents sometimes will apply a smack just before any confession to make sure everyone gets what they need, right? So we live in a more grateful times, I suppose. But what is confession? The confession we are about to study and understand today reveals the seriousness of sin, but even more gloriously reveals the mercy and the love of God. The confession of sin is simply an act of acknowledging our sins to God and ask for forgiveness. And confession, it is a fundamental aspect of our Christian lives and faith. Saint Alphonsus said, "For a good confession, three things are necessary: an examination of conscience, sorrow, and a determination to avoid sin. And the key text for us today to understand confession will be Psalm 51 and Psalm 32. Psalm 51, it's a psalm of King David making known to the world his terrible sins. When the prophet Nathan came to him after he committed adultery with Bathsheba. For more details, please read 2 Samuel chapter 11 and 12. But Psalm 51 and 32, we see David's the greatest king become the greatest penitent. And these two psalms are divine instructions for anyone crushed by guilt, longing for mercy and in need of hope. In Psalm 51, verse 1 and 2, David starts by saying, "Have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love. According to your great compassion, blot out my transgressions. Wash away all my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin." We see here from verse 1, he recognizes who has the authority to forgive our sins. And it's not the therapist, it's not the judge, it's not the government, it's not your boss. It is God himself. And David makes appeals to God's mercy and his unfailing love, as we read in those verses. And there is no excuse here for David for what he has done. And nowadays, you know, people are coming to confess, but very often we find excuses. Yes, I said something bad about them, but they said something bad about me as well. Yes, I got angry first, but they got angry first. Yes, I sinned, but I was tempted, or he or she tempted me. Let's learn from David this morning. He knew God very well. What did he knew about God if we look in those two verses? He knew God is a merciful God. Have mercy on me. And then he knew God has unfailing love for him, for me and you, according to your unfailing love. And then he knew God is a God of a great compassion, your great compassion. Wash away and cleanse me from my sin. And it's the same in Psalm 32, where David again speaks about God's power to forgive. And we know as Christians that power and authority to forgive was given to our Lord Jesus Christ. When he forgave people's sins, he was making himself one with God. And he claimed authority to forgive sins. He says in Matthew 9:23, Jesus tells a paralyzed man, "Take heart, son, your sins are forgiven." And that is why the religious leaders at that time, they couldn't stand Jesus, because he was accused of blasphemy when he forgave people's sins. In John chapter 10, the Jewish leaders confront Jesus, saying, "We are not stoning you for any good work, but for blasphemy, because you, being a man, make yourself God." That was his accusation. That's why he was crucified. And what I was reminded while preparing for this message is that at the heart of God is the desire to forgive and give. And because of this, he set into motion the greatest plan of salvation for humanity, that culminated with Jesus dying on the cross, and he was confirmed by his resurrection. You know, when we ask someone for forgiveness, we have to wait to see will they forgive us or not. But when we ask God for forgiveness, we need to have the faith he will forgive us. As it says here in promising in 1 John chapter 1, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. This is so powerful. If we confess, please believe it, receive it. God will forgive you anything you've ever done. Yes, we may suffer the consequences, as David did, since his sin. We know his life was, tumbling block of problems and issues in his life. But he was forgiven by God. And let's remember during this message, God's greatest delight is to forgive. And it was love, not anger, that kept Jesus on the cross. It was because of God's desire to reconcile us back to Him. And looking again at Psalm 51 and 32, what are the consequences for not confessing our sins to God? We see here, David describes, "When I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night, your hand was heavy on me. My strength was sapped as in the heat of summer." The guilt of silence, depression, to live with something you are hiding and for which you know you need God's grace and forgiveness. You're lacking energy, not asking for forgiveness. I mean, I hear very often people saying, "I haven't done anything that awful. I don't really need God in my life." But we see before David confessed, guilt ate at his soul. And this is the experience of so many people. Silence breeds sickness. Hidden sin has spiritual consequences, emotional troubles, and even physical effects. You can feel sick. "My strength," he says, was drying out. Without confessing his sins. Some commentators are saying that he stayed about a year without confessing his sin until Prophet Nathan came to him. Imagine living in shame and guilt for so long. And this is the danger of pretending. It's not only dishonest, it is destructive. You know, sometimes we are suppressing our emotions, denying what's going on. And that is, suppression is an unhealthy response to our emotions. That's why King David has something important to tell us in verse 6. He says, "Therefore, let all the faithful pray to you while you may be found. Surely the rising of the mighty waters will not reach them." You see, here he's talking about the impact of staying quiet, suppressing our feelings, bottling up, you know, not asking for forgiveness, not confessing. And he says, the mighty waters rise. That's not just a flooding. That is when circumstances get bigger than our faith. When we're not confessing things happening in our lives, they could reach a level where we can't cope anymore. So his advice is, confess while God can still be found. Not because he's hiding, but because sometimes our emotion can take over. And that will break our relationship with others and with God. So don't cover your sin, because God knows already all our thoughts and intentions, all our hearts. So then we ask the question, why then do we need to confess? Well, imagine a relationship, a family relationship with our parents or our spouses. Is it not nice when you know someone does something wrong to you to hear them asking for forgiveness? Is it not nice to hear your children saying thank you or Father help me? Although you know they need your help, but it's so nice for a relationship to hear those words, thank you, forgive me, I'm sorry. And it's the same with our Heavenly Father. It's because we need a good relationship with Him. And David carries on and says, "For I know my transgressions," in Psalm 51, 3, 4, "and my sin is always before me. Against you, and only you, I have sinned and done what is evil in your sight." We see, though others were harmed by what David did, he sees the sin first and foremost as an offense against God. And until we understand this, the seriousness of sin, we will not understand the depth of grace and God's love. Let's see what are the stages of confession in these Psalms. First of all, David acknowledged his sin. So the first step is to acknowledge our sin, admitting when we've done something wrong, whether it's an action, a thought, an attitude that violates God's law and standards. And let's be honest, nowadays even the word sorry, it used lightly. Sorry, 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 apologies. And it's sometimes a cultural thing, perhaps, over-apologizing and just like a feeling word, isn't it, sometimes? But the confession we're talking about here, it's about saying sorry, but having a sincere desire not to do that again. And then the next step, he says, I stopped covering it. And then the next step, I confessed it by saying the truth. We need to say the truth. And then he is in agreement with God. You are right in your verdict. Confession is not just admitting wrongdoing, but also agreeing with God's judgment about the sin. He says, yes, I deserve this. But then he receives forgiveness for the guilt and the sin in his life. You know, we need to learn more receiving forgiveness from God. We're not good at receiving sometimes. You know, when someone makes you a gift, you say, no. Let's learn to say, yes, thank you. I'll take that. And it's the same with God. If he forgave us, if he promises forgiveness, let's receive it. We see again, David is crushed under the weight of what he has done. Look at that picture. Carrying those heavy stones. Many of the people we know. And let's see how he describes the sin in those Psalms. Transgression, a willful rebellion. Inequity, twisting what was right. Sin, failing short and missing the mark. And the Bible speaks about two type of confessions, if you like. Firstly, confessing is between the individual and God. Because we read in 1 Timothy 2, chapter 2, verse 5, for there is one God. There is one God. And one mediator between God and mankind, the man Christ Jesus. So this is between us and our Heavenly Father. But also, if we did something wrong to someone, we need to ask for forgiveness to that person, if possible. I mean, sometimes that person may not be with us anymore. Or maybe, you know, circumstances are of that nature that you can't really reach out to someone you did something wrong. And then secondly, the scripture talks about confession to one another as accountability. You know, confessing someone to someone you trust to get support and prayer. It says there in James chapter 5, 16, therefore confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. This can be someone you trust. A Christian, someone that can pray for you. And I would emphasize someone you trust, because let's be honest, sometimes for some people it's hard to keep something confident and private as a secret. And I would say also careful consideration is needed when it's about confessing our sinful thoughts. I would suggest in general this needs to be confessed to God only. Maybe if it's something that really bothers you and you need prayer, someone to pray for you, or fasting, then you can open up and discuss with someone. Now, we see for David, after confession, he asked for forgiveness. And this may seem obvious, but I know people just confessing, knowing their wrongdoings, but never asking for forgiveness. So this is an important step. He says, cleanse me with hyssop and I will be clean. Wash me and I will be whiter than snow. Deliver me from the guilt of bloodshed. Forgiveness is necessary and we need to ask for it. God has forgave us already on the cross, but it's about that ongoing relationship we have with him. And what if we fail again? The question may arise. Well, very often we do, because we live in this body of flesh and we are all weak in certain areas. But the best response when we fail again is not to try harder. We learned that during the discipline series and discipleship series, is not to try harder, is to come closer to God. You know, when you love someone, really love someone, your spouse, your child, a friend, you want to do what pleases them, right? Because you love them. So we need to learn to come closer to God, to love him more, and to let him love us more. And that's when we will sin less. Because it's love, not fear, that changes us and transforms us. And the more we know God, the less we sin. Amen? Amen. And we see in David's life, the moment he confessed, everything changes for David. He received joy. We read those verses, it's like something else. Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones you have crushed rejoice. Create in me a pure heart, O God. Restore in me the joy of your salvation. Wow. It begins, God begins a restoration of his heart. Not just forgiveness for the past, not just forgiveness for the moment, but a better hope for what is coming. And the forgiveness brings at least three P's for us to remember. Three P's. Peace, protection, which is salvation, and praises. Confession brings all those three things in our lives. And then interestingly, confession and receiving forgiveness leads to mission. We've heard from our gifted speakers, you know, Jackie talked about worship, Chris talked about mission, Mandy about listening to God. And we can't do any of those without confession because we don't have power in us on our own to witness to others when you feel guilty, isn't it? When you feel heavy inside, you can't even share the gospel with someone because it drags you back. Oh, you're not worthy. You don't deserve to do it. You're not good. But when we confess, when we receive forgiveness, what David does, then I will teach transgressors your ways so that sinners will turn back to you. He learned on his own what forgiveness is, and now he can share the good news. We see the connection. Open my lips, O Lord, and I will declare your praises. Because understanding what's going on, understanding ourselves, as Paul described himself, I am the chief of sinners. Paul, Apostle Paul, who shared the gospel with so many. There is power, therefore, in confession. There is power from the Holy Spirit in us when we open our hearts to God. So then, in conclusion, let's remember some key important things. An important thing to remember in our confession is that it should not become self-condemnation. We confess, we receive forgiveness, open our hearts and minds to receive forgiveness. Confession begins in sorrow, but it ends in joy. Begins in sorrow, but it ends in joy. And confession is not simply admitting we were wrong, it's surrendering our hearts to God. Confession brings us face to face with two powerful realities, the weight of our sins and the immeasurable mercy and love of God. And remember, God is more willing to forgive us than we are willing to ask. He is not standing at a distance with crossed arms. He is reaching out, as you remember the prodigal son. The father was running to welcome his prodigal son back home. That is our God. And look at King David, the greatest king Israel ever had. His sins, adultery, deceit, even murder are recorded for the whole world to see. Why? So that you and me could know and understand today that there is nothing you can do beyond God's forgiveness. David cried out in repentance, and though he still suffered the consequences, as we've seen, he died a man forgiven. Actually, the Bible describes him as a man after God's own heart. Tragically, so many people carry their sins to the grave, never asking for mercy. Don't let that be your story this morning. You know, one day the Bible says everything hidden will be revealed. Every secret will be exposed. In Luke chapter 12, verse 2, it says, there is nothing concealed that will not be disclosed or hidden that will not be made known. And Ecclesiastes in the Old Testament knew that. God will bring every deed into judgment, including every hidden thing, whether it's good or evil. You know, our sins needs to be forgiven on this earth. And that is how the guilty are set free, the broken are made whole, and the spiritually dead are raised to life. You know what I realized while preparing this is that Jesus himself never asked for forgiveness for his sins, because he never sinned. The scripture says he never sinned. But he asked for forgiveness for you and me. On the cross, while he was crucified, he was beaten, he was mocked. He didn't pray for himself, saying, "Oh, take me out of here." He was praying for the people crucifying him. "Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing." Who can pray like this unless it is God who came on this earth to find me and you? And our sin needs to be forgiven on this earth, because Hebrews chapter 9 says, just as people are destined to die once and after that to face judgment, so Christ was sacrificed once to take away the sins of many. Forgiveness must happen now while there is still breath in our lungs. So I wonder, how would you go home from here? How would you go home to God when our time comes? And please, I urge you, do not delay one more moment. Don't risk stepping into eternity carrying a burden. Jesus already died to remove your sins. He says in John chapter 8, verses 23, "You are of this world, I am not of this world. If you do not believe that I am he, you will indeed die in your sins. If you hold to my teachings, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." Jesus is the truth. He is the answer you have been searching for. Whatever you're going through, pain, loss, regret, fear, unknown, he is never leave you or forsake you. He says, "Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." So if there is something you're hiding from God today, he already knows. And he doesn't want perfection. He wants honesty. The cross proves the seriousness of sin, but also demonstrates God's love for you and me. So come today, confess and be forgiven and be made new. And if you've never received our Lord Jesus Christ in your heart, or if you're not sure, please do come and find me. I will wait for you here at the end, and I would love to pray for you for forgiveness and to welcoming our Lord Jesus Christ in your heart and life. Thank you for listening, and God bless you all. Amen. Amen. Thank you.